this morning, I was standing next to the praiser of the day. If you had to pick a praiser out this morning, I'd pick this little lady right here. What's her name again? I forgot. Violet. That little girl, how old is she? 4 months old. You should have seen her up here this morning. I mean, she was like this. I want to go. I want to do something. Smiling all the time. And I thought to myself while I was watching her, if everybody in here this morning was praising with the attitude that I see on that little girl, the walls have been blown out. And it touched my heart, and I thought, there's a little one, 4 months old, learning what it's all about. Isn't that much more precious than us 40 and 50-year-old people to wake up one day and say, duh, where have I been? Hallelujah. But it's just awesome, the sense of God's presence this morning. And I guess that you know that we have some celebrities with us this morning. And
tell about the movie because you've seen it. Come here. You were going to do that? Is that all right? Good thing she's my cousin, you know. We were blessed back in August to get to be out in Missouri with Brother Clifton and Sister Jerry, and we were so blessed to get to see the movie that we're seeing tonight. Jack and my mom and Mel, the four of us, when we were on a trip out, and we were so excited to get to see it. But then when we actually saw it, it was just like being in a real movie. I mean, you know, you think, well, it's a skit that somebody did. Nuh-uh. It's a movie. It's a cowboy movie. And I like cowboy movies. And it is awesome. It is such a blessing all the way through it. There are little nuggets. And Brother Clifton was telling me this morning that every time he watched it, he saw something different. And I'm like that with movies to do. So I'm really excited about seeing it tonight because I'm going to pick out some more pearls and gems that I know are just going to pop out at us. But the scenery is beautiful. The everything about it is very professional. It's just, you're going to stop me.
I was just going to say, it's also, if you know anybody that likes movies, that likes Westerns, and they need Jesus, you need to have him here tonight. Because the anointing that's on Clifton when he ministers is in that movie. The anointing is in him. And we're going to have snacks, popcorn and drinks. Yeah, it's praise and worship team. We'll have snacks. And then afterwards, we'll have a little bit more than popcorn and drinks. We're going to have hot dogs and chili dogs. Don't tell the health experts that, okay? But we're going to nachos and cheese, pardon? Fried apple pies. Now, we're not giving them away, but whatever you got to pay for those fried apple pies, they're worth every bite. Just ask Ricardo. And we're starting the movie at 5 because we know there's school tomorrow, but we can come and enjoy the movie and have a fellowship time afterwards. Yes? Oh, there's no school tomorrow. Well, how about that? You can stay another, so we can fellowship longer tonight. How about that? Thank you, Jonathan. When I bet you were going to tell me there's no school tomorrow, right?
Okay. Now what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. That's as far as I got. You know the rest of it. Now I know what I was going to say. We had some saddening news yesterday. And, I mean, just was shocked that finding out that Brother Al Glusky has gone on to be with the Lord. Al Glow Husky. And some of you may not know him, but if you've been around a while, you know Brother Al. Come in. He came about every year and ministered. The last couple of times, he was having some real physical problems. And we didn't know he was as bad as, we knew it was pretty bad, but we didn't know it was as bad as it was. And, you know, standing, trusting, believing God, not talking about what it was, not giving us any indication. But, and we don't know exactly when, it's just, few weeks ago, I guess. The only way I have any communication with him is I had his cell phone number, and I called him a couple times back in the before I got sick last year, and never got anybody. And didn't have any. Well, I'll call him later. And then I got sick, and I didn't think any more about it. And then we found out yesterday. From a friend of his, it's also a friend of Clifton and Jerry. And so Clifton and Jerry were telling us about it when they got down yesterday. So let's pray for his family and all the other prayers that we're going to have. Your brother Tim's going to come on.
Pastor. First, let me say we don't know what just happened, but we just lost the lights in the foyer. So as you go to, once we release for the children's church and stuff, please be careful. We'll check it out in a moment, but please be careful as you're retreating out of here. We also want to continue to pray for Pastor. As he said, he's going in for his treatment, and he's got a lot to make up for, so I believe he's going to do that and do it well. We need to pray for the Brenton Harvey family, or rather, Brenton Harvey. He is has a fever right now, and he's going to the doctor. We need to pray for Deanne White for healing. She's Diane. Okay. Christopher Beach family. He passed away. Is Christopher part of the church here? Or? Okay. Chris passed away due to pneumonia. He was only 26 years old, folks. So pray for Sue Smith. She has lupus. Edith Harmon for a good report. Dimple Buck for healing. Robert Turner for salvation and healing. Donnie Turner for salvation and healing. Heather Van Arsdale for healing. Danny McClister. We need to pray for Danny that the Lord will touch him. We need to pray for Kenny Powell, for encouragement, and Shirley, we want to pray for her continued healing. And since we're talking about knees, go ahead and throw me on there too, but I thank God that he has touched me and taken away some of that pain. Pray for Louise McClister for healing, and Kristen Harris, she's got a cousin who has a three-year-old child who got hit by a car, and broke a couple ribs, punctured lung, and his stomach as well. However, the child is no longer in critical condition, and just be praying for that family. Pray for Tommy Gray for fast healing from surgery. Billy Gray for healing and salvation. Woody Harris for strength, because Woody's rededicating his life to the Lord and coming back. Absolutely. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Pray for Gloria Lemons for her continued healing on her wing there, her shoulder. Cheryl Jackson needs healing today. Need to pray for Jerry Adamson. He's out with his crud. And also, you know, just pray for our church family as a whole. But, you know, I just feel it's important. Lydie, I'm putting you on the spot. Come here. Go ahead and say what you got to say to him, then come up here. We got a couple praise reports that we're going to let Lydie talk about how God is working in her family. You know, she's prayed for her sister for quite some time, and I just feel it's important to share this with the church.
I'll try to keep it short, although it's a long story. But my sister, her husband passed away 2 years ago. He'd taken out a mortgage, a second mortgage on the house, their own, their main home. After he passed away, my sister bought a little house down at the bottom of her hill for a rental property. It was the best thing that she ever did. So, anyways, trying to make this short, the bank for her home, they were going to foreclose on her. They started proceedings last summer. She put her little house up for sale, and she got a buyer back 2 months ago. She was expecting to close in December. She's been attacked, each and every time. They'd say everything's fine. He'd come back with something that she had to take care of. Wednesday, she called me. Up till Wednesday, everything was good. They were going to close on the house on Monday, this coming Monday. She called me in tears because the bank said, now we're not going to approve the loan for the buyer because she was selling it for $75,000. She bought it for $50,000. So they're questioning the value of the home. And the appraiser. It was their appraiser that did the appraising. Well, I called the prayer team. The prayers went up. Got a call back that afternoon, Wednesday afternoon. The bank had called the real estate agent, said they're going through with the loan. Wow. So I told her on Wednesday night, I said, I prayed. I sent out prayers from the prayer team. And she said, well, they worked because the real estate agent was not expecting to hear from the bank, and she was getting ready to extend the paperwork for the loan for another couple weeks out. So prayers are answered, and she's the Lord is working in my sister's life, and he's right on time. Thank you.
Jack. For those of you, I think you most heard it, but Rick Miller lost his mother, so we want to pray for the Rick Miller family. Yes. Okay. Yes. Praise God. I mean, folks, yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise, because you know what? We need to remember something. I don't think anyone is happy that the man lost his legs, but it's better to enter into the kingdom of heaven without those legs than to not enter the kingdom of heaven. Yes, Pat. Amen. I don't know why, I just feel like right now, let's just close our eyes for a second. Yes. Let's hear it.
The lady that husband burned her. Well, when she got burnt, it was in September. She lived for 3 months before she died. We were watching her memorial because we weren't around, we didn't know. After she was burnt, she did get saved, and the 3 months she was alive, they said her eyes were different. That was the only thing she could work were her eyes and her mouth, because the rest of her body was burnt. and they said that her eyes looked so different that they could see Christ in her eyes. And she preached forgiveness. She forgave her husband for burning her. She told her kids to forgive their father. She had more forgiveness in her laying in a hospital bed with her whole body burnt than a lot of us have walking around. And it was just, it was really awesome to see the memorial and see how many people she had touched just in the 3 months and had showed Christ to. So.
Folks, you know, it's so often that you hear it, but we need to remember it. That do all you can to proclaim the gospel and saving power of Jesus Christ. And if necessary, use words. Our life is our testimony. Wow. Just close your eyes for a moment. Think of all the things that God has done in your life. Think of all the people that He has brought into your life. People who have made positive impacts in your life. Your church family. Now I want you to think of all those in your family who don't know Christ. Right now, just lift them up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise You and we thank You for each person who sits in these chairs today and they lift up these names of their loved ones who are unsaved. Father, we pray for them. We pray for healing. We pray for healing for everybody which needs it. Every person that needs healing in their body, but more so, we pray for those who need Christ for salvation. We pray for those who need direction and guidance. We pray for those who have recommitted their life to You, Lord, that we will be a positive impact in their lives. That we will be that guiding force that helps them to remain strong. And we lift them up in prayer. Father, we pray for this church body. We pray for our pastors and the staff of this church. That You'll continue to guide them. That You'll continue to watch over them and protect them. And Lord, may You use this church, not only here, but in this community, to make a difference. Father, we praise You that You loved us enough when we were so unworthy, but You still reached out and offered salvation. Let us be a light in this dark, dark world. We praise You and we thank You in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people say, amen. Pastor, did you?
Hallelujah. Now remember that there is a spot of darkness just outside the sanctuary door, but you won't be in the dark very long. Couldn't figure out what was going on. Haven't solved it yet, but, you know, just don't get lost in the dark. We're going to dismiss all the children in preschool, nursery, and children's church. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you to notice the things, the announcements in the Sunday morning bulletin. For those of you that took part in the Salvation Army fundraising during the past year, around Christmas and everything, if you rung the bells and all, and you can make it, there's going to be an appreciation luncheon at 11 o'clock on February the 5th. And, you know, we encourage you, if you can, to be there, because they'll, you know, they'll make you feel special. They'll make you feel special. And just believe God with us at Wednesday the 23rd, weather's going to be nice. No bad roads between here and Lexington. And then all I have to do after that is go 24 hours without saying anything. No moaning, man. No use of the vocal cords at all. Yeah. And it's just, you know, I'm excited. I'm also excited to introduce to you this morning. Most of you, they don't need an introduction. Some of you may be new. But, you know, you have many friends. And people that you think a lot of. Then in the midst of those, there's some special ones. And whether it's by our choice or God's destiny, you make a connection. And you're just connected from that point on. And that's the way it is with us and Clifton and Jerry Coulter from Missouri. Come to share and bless the Lord this morning.
Praise the Lord. We're so glad to be here today. We're excited about the movie, and we do actually have three that we can sell. Our friend David Hinton is the producer, director. He wrote the movie. It's a true story about his grandfather, and it starts out, the boy is probably a teenager, wouldn't you say? Or
probably.
But it's a true story. It's based on a true story of his grandfather. And so when he was asked, well, what's your budget for the film? He said...
No, they said, is it a low budget?
Oh, is this a low budget film? He said, this is a no budget film. He started this with nothing. All he had was a script. And he went around the country and handpicked people. Even there's a woman from Ireland who lives in England now. And his grandmother was... his great-grandmother was from Ireland, even. So God just handpicked people and brought them in from everywhere. We all paid our own expenses. We spent time. And when he came to tell us, we agreed to do the movie, and then he came in September of 2011 to ask us to come to Tulsa for a week in October. Well, we were getting ready to commemorate and remember the one-year anniversary of our son's tragic death. And we had already been talking about what are we going to do. You know, we didn't want to stay in Missouri. We didn't want to go to Indiana. We didn't want to be anywhere. And so when David came by, it wasn't clicking with him about these dates, but he said, can you come? And he named the week of that anniversary death. Can you come to Tulsa and work on this movie? So Clifton and I just decided we were going to dedicate that week to Kelly, do it in honor of Kelly, and do our very best. And we did. We did our very best. And, you know, we're proud of it. It's David's first film. But anyway, my point is we didn't even have any to sell. He has to sell them to pay off his movie debt. He's starting another one in June. But anyway, I have three for sale today.
I've already sold one.
Okay, I have two for sale. They're $20, and then I also have an address where you can order a movie. But anyway, How the West Was Won, and people have been being saved from it and stuff. And then the other stuff that we have back there, usually we have prices on them, but today, I didn't ask him, but he would give it all away anyway. But today, we're just going to say... for any offering, you can have anything back there, including my book. This is Rain in the Desert. You talk about Rain
this
in the Desert.
This is a good book. It is a good book. It's a 31-day devotional. Like if you've got a day that's got 30, you skip the last one.
Don't
or a month that's got a 30, just skip the last one and go back to the front again.
The last one's on heaven.
The last one's on heaven. But yeah, you can go ahead and read that anyway. But But anyway, it's a good book. We've had a lot of feedback on this of people that has read these devotionals, and there's, I'll tell you what, there's a teaching in these devotionals. She had me read it. I said, some of these are so long that you couldn't get in trouble. It takes you all day to read it.
They're little mini teachings. And this is supposed to be a fundraiser for my real book that I've been putting together for decades. And I can't ever find a place to stop, but I am stopping, and it's on my computer. It's called Your Rose Will Bloom Again. I've done that message here in the women's conferences. But it's just a spiritual autobiography of our lives, and it'll be coming out pretty soon. So this was actually a fundraiser for that. And then I have a women's conference set that was supernaturally put together by God. These people, it's me and two other women. And it's like, you know, the Olympic circles, how they overlap. That's how this is, because I'm mostly grace. I mean, I'm faith from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I'm a faith woman. But I teach grace more. And then we have this lady, Marty Spaulding, was ordained. Her and her husband were ordained by Kenneth Copeland, and he actually supports a church that they started in Indiana. And her testimony is worth the whole set, whatever it is. But she's in that, the hardcore faith realm, and then I'm faith grace. And then the other lady is Glenda Dowd Tate, and she is in the prophetic. She's been in a different circle than I've ever been in. But we all blended. You know, I mean, I can't even explain it, but God's doing that today, people. You know, he's bringing people together from all different camps. We used to stay in our own camp, didn't we? We just stayed in our own little camp, and everybody else was wrong. Come on. I don't think it was just us. Maybe. But now God wants his children together on the earth. We're going to be together in heaven. And he wants us together blending our gifts and talents and
until they all start believing like us.
Yeah. But anyway, this is really good. She's teaching on the glory of God that is inside of us. Man, it's just really good. I had a scripture I wanted to read. So anyway, everything back there except the movies. There's two movies left. These are $20 that we have to have the $20. But then the rest of it is for a love offering. Clifton has lots of CDs. My favorite one that I brought is All Is Well. I don't know. I probably had this one last time we were here, All Is Well. But I want, Laverne, you're getting this one whether you want it or not. All Is Well. You know, the Shunammite woman, you know, her son was dead. And the little son that she'd been bearing her whole life, and Elisha told her, yeah, you're going to have a son next year. And she was so excited. And the little boy grew up, and he went out in the field and died. And well, they brought him to his mother. He sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. And she laid him up on the bed of the prophet that her and her husband had built, this little prophet's room for the prophet and for his sidekick, and she laid him on that bed, and she took off to find the man of God. She was going toward the man of God. They stopped her. Is everything all right? Is everything all is well? It is well, she said. Her baby son, her only son, was laying dead on the bed, but all is well, she said. She told everybody that, even Gehazi, who came to meet her. Is everything okay? Because they saw her coming. Elisha did. He said, well, there's that woman. Well, I wonder if everything's all right. And so Gehazi ran out to meet her, and is everything... It is well, she said. That's what she said. Now, people, I don't care what's going on in our lives. You know what? All is well. All is well in the spirit. I don't care if your kid's on drugs. I don't care. Anyway, I'm getting carried away. Okay.
Go ahead.
All is well. Well, I've got this net. Well, Sister Colton, you just don't understand. I ain't got no money. All is well. We sang it this morning, Jehovah Jireh. Supplies, everything. We got so many testimonies. This is my scripture this morning. This is familiar to you, but I'm telling you, if you will meditate on this, it will change your life. It's Ephesians 3:20. You can pray, I'll quote it. Now to him. Amen. Come on. Now to him who is able, people. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According, Now, this is the best part. See, some of us stop there. Well, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. All we can ever ask or think. According to the power that works in who?
Us.
The power that works in us. We want his power to work, and it does every day, every moment of our lives. But that power is in us. According to the power that works in us, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Whatever we can think, yeah. He can do exceedingly abundantly above. One short testimony about our friends. We were just in Florida for a week with our friends. They came down to visit us, and they were struggling. They have never struggled financially, but they had struggled financially.
He's a guy, I've told you about him before, he's a guy that tells people to take Jesus home on a 30-day trial. You've heard me talk.
Soul winner.
Jimmy White.
And they were there on Sunday, and they said, we just don't know what we're going to do. Anyway, I won't tell you everything, but they just, well, they called a couple, so we prayed. He said, now I know God's going to take care of it. God told me, Jimmy, I'm going to pay your bills. And we said, well, then if he told you he's going to pay your bills, then he's going to pay your bills. I mean, it was a big, big deal. Well, on Wednesday he called us. They were supposed to come back down on Thursday. They didn't even have the gas money to drive from Tampa to Orlando. That's how bad it was. They had to get money from their kids. They were going to make the trip, though. They were coming to see us. Well, on Wednesday he called. Well, that their daughter had put money in their bank account, so they were going to make sure it was in there before they went to get it out to get gas to come and see us in Orlando. They went to their computer, and the bank account showed a deposit for $18,000. I said $18,000 was deposited into their bank account. They said, what is this? Well, they're on Social Security. They're older than we are. They're older on Social Security, and Social Security had underpaid them for years, and they had caught it and reimbursed it. Whoa! Now, see, they were trying to think of how to do debt consolidation, you know, do this. All their bills were paid, property taxes paid, everything paid. Now, exceedingly abundantly above. Now, what was happening is God was putting money in a savings for them. It looked like the Social Security was shortchanging them, but that isn't what happened. God was putting money in a savings, Ronnie. Do you like this story? And putting money in a savings account for them for due time. See, he comes around in due time, at the right time. We think he's late. Never. He's never late, but he's got to work with so many people. You know, that's his holdup. God's only holdup is us.
Come on.
So anyway, I could preach, but
he's a guy that he's a guy that gave me $10,000 after he got back from the first trip to India. We prayed for God to sell his house, and the Lord told him, said, "I'm going to sell your house, and I'm going to sell it for cash." And he'd built this house, you know, and he didn't know anything on it. He didn't know anything on the house. He had it built and paid for. And he prayed, and a guy come by, and he said, "I'm going to buy your house." And he gave him $50,000 in cash and wrote the rest in a check. And they cashed it. And he said that the Lord said, "Send Clifton $10,000." And he said, are you talking to me, Lord? And he said, you know, send him $10,000. And so he said, send us $10,000. So I like it when Jimmy gets blessed. I got a little Indian friend over in India that writes me all the time on Facebook. And one time we were having a chat on the thing, you know, on Facebook. And I could hear him say it because I know how those Indians talk. He said, "Oh, Brother Clifton," he said, "I pray for you that God bless your ministry. So you can bless mine." I wrote him back and I said, "Why don't you just cut out the middle, man, and pray for him to bless yours?" And so, anyway, but I guess, hallelujah, Jimmy's the middle man in my case because he always blesses us when he's blessed. And you know, you see people in your lifetime, and I know there's people in this building this is exactly the same way. You meet people in your lifetime that, when they get a hold of something from God, they just hang on to it and hold on to it, and you know they're never going to give up. They're never going to turn loose. But you see those same people, you know, go through things in their life that you would never think that they'd go through. But I think that's part of the rounding, amen, of what causes us to be solid. What causes us to be able to be a witness? What causes us to be able to say we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? You know, we're going to have a testimony. You're going to have a word of the testimony. And the only thing that's going to cause you to be able to have a testimony is by the blood of the Lamb. It's what he's done for you that's going to cause you to be able to stand up and say, look what the Lord has done. And in our lives, you know, we're holding on to what he's done. And I'm going to teach this morning out of the second chapter of Ephesians. And I've been studying this for months, and I don't get a whole lot. I mean, I don't get any great revelation out of this. You may not either, but there's a reason for us looking at this morning. I'll tell you what I think the Lord's trying to show me, and in showing me, I think he's going to show you too, that we just take so much for granted, and we just don't realize, you know, how little we had to do with the plan of salvation that God has for us. And how wonderful it is, how great it is, and it was his plan, and it shows how much he loves us because he planned this whole thing for us. And so it starts off in Ephesians 1, you know, Paul's talking about, you know, how that we were wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand of in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that was named, not only in this world, but also in that which was to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth all in all. And then in the second chapter, it starts off by saying, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. You know, we were all dead in trespasses and sin. You know, we've taught it here. You've been taught this. You know, we were all dead because of Adam. You know, because of what took place in Adam. We were born of Adam's seed, and we were all come short of the glory of God. We were all sinners and come short of the glory of God. And so God took us who were dead, amen, and quickened us. Quickened means brought us to life. He brought us to life. Took us right out of the worst situation in the world. You know, you was never worse off than when you was lost. Amen. The worst day of your life as a Christian is better than the best day you had when you were lost, because you were lost. And the Bible says when we're lost, we're without hope and without God in this world. You know, we're a mess without salvation, without what God's given us. Wherein in times past, second verse says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past. We all had that, didn't we? That conversation there means mannerism of life. That's the way we lived. Come on, you could be, you know, I've heard Andrew say this before, Andrew Womack. I've heard him say this before. You know, well, these people will say, well, I'm not too bad. He said, well, who wants to be the best sinner in hell? You know, I mean, maybe you weren't as bad as somebody else, but it doesn't make any difference. If you're lost, you're lost. And we all had our conversations. We all had our mannerisms of life in things past. You know, the Bible says if we break one law, we've broke them all, and so we're guilty of all of them. If we've broke them all, we're guilty of all of them, even though we never committed some of the things that other people do. We're still just as guilty. And it says, among whom also we had a conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, we had a nature back then that was different than the one we have now. I want to tell you something. You have a different nature now than you had when you were lost. You're a different natured person. Praise God. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're still a creature. You're just a new one. Amen. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You know, you're a new person. You're a new creation. God didn't make you over. He made you a brand new person. We're not a made over person. That's why that when things of the past starts creeping in on us and starts trying to give us options of life that we've walked away from, you know, we need to realize that that's not natural. That's not a natural thing. For somebody to stand up before a crowd and say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You were a sinner and you're saved by grace, amen, and that old man is dead. And when those desires start coming back in you, that's not normal. That's not natural. Come on. I've heard people say, well, that's just the way I am. No, that's not the way you are. You're a jerk. Amen. You're a jerky Christian. That's not just the way you are. God changed you. Come on. Now, we don't know that is the reason we act like a jerk sometimes, amen? We just don't understand that, that you are not that person anymore. You don't have to act that way no more. You don't have to succumb to, the Bible says that we're dead to those things. Amen. Does anybody listen to me? I'm going to preach a little condemnation to get your attention. But God. Well, I love that. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, by His great love wherein He loved us. Now see, when we start putting ourselves down, when we start bad-mouthing ourselves, or I'll say it this way, potty-mouthing ourselves, putting ourselves down, saying we're anything less than what the Word of God says to, we're going against His love. Come on. We're saying that God's love wasn't enough. We're saying that God's love wasn't powerful enough. We're saying that that God didn't love me as much as He did somebody else. Now, we know that's not true. We have to think about that. You ever feel unloved? Come on, you ever feel unloved? Well, you know, as a Christian, we shouldn't ever feel that way. And if we're taught right, and if we read the Word of God and find out who we are in Christ, you know that Paul, that's an interesting thing about the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul taught people who they were in Christ. He taught them who they were in Christ. He didn't care what they were doing. He didn't care how they were acting. He said, you are in Christ. You're a different person. You're a different person. And then after he would finally teach them who they were in Christ, and they began to find out who they were, then he'd start telling them things that was unnatural. And you'd see them as unnatural. You see what I'm saying? Tell the thief. He don't have to steal no more. Why? Because he's not a thief. Come on. Tell the drug addict he don't have to do drugs anymore. Why? Because he's not a drug addict. I was reading a book this week about a guy wanted me to read because we're getting ready to take this ministry in that he deals with addicts and alcoholics and addicts, and he's looking for a pastor to set under and bring these people in. Well, we've been looking for an avenue of being able to reach those people. So I think this is a thing of God. You know, we're going to talk with him more. But he gave me a book to read, and he was telling me about the 12 steps. How many has heard of the 12 steps? Well, you know, you hear people all the time. You hear Christians all the time, and I've heard Christian organizations, come against the 12 steps because they see it as a means of works. But if you'll read the original deal of the Alcoholic Anonymous, who started this thing, and read the thoughts of the founding fathers of this thing, it wasn't about works at all. It was all about God. And it was all about the power that worketh in us. But you know that power that Jerry was talking about that worketh in us, that's God's power. It's not our power. Amen. He give us His power. His power lives inside of us. Yeah. Man, he says, go and tarry, and when you receive the Holy Ghost, come on, say Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. You'll receive power. Yeah. Amen. And so we have that power living inside of us. And this whole thing, this book, I've only read 15 pages and I already know what the rest of the book's going to say. Because the whole book is geared to getting people off of this thought of thinking, amen, that this is a works thing, and it's not about God, it's about a higher power. He said, these organizations, he said, the Alcoholic Anonymous, when they first started, they had 93% success rate. Now they've got 10. And the reason is because they took God out and started saying higher power. He said, that could be a light bulb. Yeah. Come on, it's higher than you and it's got power, amen. I mean, it could be anything. And so they didn't want to talk about God because they wanted to bring everybody in. But you see, the very thing that they was pushing out was the only thing that could deliver them. And that's the way we are, even as Christians, even as born-again believers, amen, when we get to thinking that God just did so much and now it's up to us to do the rest, that's the biggest lie that ever come down the road. And this business of being a self-made man, if you're a self-made man, you're a piece of junk. I'll guarantee you, amen. There's no such thing in the body of Christ, amen. We're God-made men and women, amen. We're not a self-made man. Every time I ever start relying on myself, I get worried. Every time I get reliant on myself, I get scared. Fear comes on me. I get sick. Come on. We get to rely on ourselves. I'll tell you one thing. Gerald Rutherford wouldn't be here today if he'd been relying on himself. Amen. He was a sick man. Jerry and I stayed up there that last time he came out of surgery when he went in for the second time to repair the first time. And he looked terrible. And Jerry and I prayed. Well, we prayed in tongues. We didn't even talk to each other. We prayed in tongues all the way to wherever we was going. I can't remember where we were going, but we said, before we go anything, we're closer. We was within 100 miles or something of where he was at. So I said, we're going to the hospital. And we saw him. Man, it kicked us in gear real quick. And we started praying, and we began to see the seriousness of this thing. And you know, when you go through, you know, I went through a similar thing. It wasn't near as bad as what Gerald went through, but I went through a similar thing when I had that pancreatitis, and I found out I had a pseudocyst on my pancreas, and for all summer I was in and out of the hospital. You know, you was talking about eating that little them beans and blowing your bag up. I took one piece of ice. I couldn't eat anything for 80 days. I took one piece of ice. We were at a staff meeting out in Colorado at the Bible College, and I was able to go to stuff like, and I went, and it was hot. Oh, it was hot. Everybody else was just drinking soft drinks, and we were playing miniature golf, and the water was running over this. Oh, man, don't ever think that water's not the best drink in the world. There's nothing any better than water. And it was running over this thing, you know, over this falls, and I was just sitting there. And so they said, well, you can take a cup of ice, but you can't inhale it. It's like, okay. Anyway, I put the ice in my mouth, and I spit it back in, or spit it out, you know. And so finally I thought, I'm going to swallow one piece of ice. I'm just going to swallow one of those pieces of ice to cool off my throat. Man, I swallowed one piece of ice. This was my thinking. Went back to the hospital for 21 days. 21 days that one piece of ice put me in the hospital for. It started my pancreas. See, what they was trying to do is stop everything from working in there until it got healed. My pancreas was trying to eat the rest of my body. I was laying in bed one night, and this guy came up there and woke me up, and he said, Mr. Coulter. I said, what? He said, you've got animals in your blood. I said, animals? And I said, my wife always said I had animal blood in me, but not animals in my blood. He said, yes. He said, your body's trying to eat itself. I thought, well, why'd you wake me up? I mean, what's the deal here? I mean, you know, that's really something to wake up to. Oh, okay, I think I'll go back to sleep. My body's eating itself. And your body's eating itself. And it was putting out, my pancreas was putting out fluids all through my body. And that's, you know, trying to digest itself. And I went through all that stuff, but I said all this to say this. When it got down to it, you know, You read over in the Old Testament so many times where these guys are having problems, and it says in their bedchamber they thought about the Lord. You know, they meditated on the Lord. They thought about the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. When you're sick like that, you do a lot of meditation. It's like Gerald said, you know, you go from every spectrum there is. You know, you go from high faith to thinking you have no faith. And you go from feeling like you're in the presence of the Lord, wondering if you're ever going to be in the presence of the Lord again. And just all kinds of things. But see, the thing of it is, the thing that Gerald talked about, he said, you know, the reason that he was able to come through that was not because he what all he did when he was sick. It was what he did before. It was that word that he had deposited in him beforehand that he was able, that sustained him and kept him alive. And then other people, amen, praying and encouraging him. And I just want to say thank you. You guys here are my friends, but thank you for taking care of my friend. Amen. So, you know, there's so much stuff that we take for granted. There's so many things that we just take for granted. But we need to study that word and read that word and find out who we are. And I'll tell you what, let me say something. When you find out who you are in the Word of God, you will be well pleased. Amen. You're not going to dislike who you see. Come on. You're going to like who you see. Book of James says, you know, you be a doer of the word. You know, the only way you can be a doer of the word is to know that you're the word. To know that the word of God lives inside of you, that Jesus lives inside of you. If you're going to be a doer of the word, you got to know what the word says. Amen? You can't be a doer of the word if you don't know what the word says. How could anybody make it if they didn't think God was on their side? You know, the main thing, the whole deal, that when you get in the shape that Gerald was in and I was in, you've got to know that God's for you. You can't filter through a bunch of garbage. You got to know that God's for you. I tell our people out there all the time, I said, you know, I've been here now for 9 years in this area, and I said, if anybody's ever learned anything from our church or anything that we've ever preached, I said, I want you to know this. This is what I want you to know. That God is always for you and he is never against you. He's always for you and never against you. You can't be double-minded. You can't let your mind drift back and forth and wonder, well, maybe this time, just like what Laverne was saying. You got me through the last time, but I'm not sure he's going to. No, you gotta know that God is for you and he's never against you. And if you know that, even when things are not going the way we think we should see them, amen, because we're self-made people, because we've decided how things ought to be in our life. Come on. If you make the decision that you know that God's for you, amen, even when things are not going exactly the way you think they should, you know they're in God's hands and it's going to turn out to your good. Amen. It's always going to turn out to the good. Always going to turn out to the good. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this because I'm a pastor and I can say these things. Come on. I can say whatever I want to. I'm not your pastor. I'm a pastor. But you begin to realize how valuable having good pastors are when you think you might lose one. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. See, those are things that we take for granted too. All Gerald and Verna lost be there. You know, come on. Isn't that what we think? You know, we can always call on them. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't even like your pastor until you need him. But you know he don't care if you don't like him or not. You'll always be there. He'll be there. Amen. Come on. We've had people leave our church before that couldn't stand each other. They couldn't stand. I'm not talking about husband and wife. I'm talking about this person, this family leave, and they can't stand each other. Come best of friends when they leave the church. You can talk about us. Come on. You don't have to pay for that one. All right. Now, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, you can't get any higher than that, can you? People say, how high are you? I said, I'm as high as I can get. Praise God, I'm always on a high because I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. I had a guy come in my office one time, and he was talking about the situation, and you know, situations can get bad. I mean, some situations can get bad. I've had people tell me things before, and I couldn't close my mouth to pray. And you tell you stuff, and you think, man, I mean, how's God going to, whoa, what a deal. What an opportunity for God here. You know? And I think, you know, God's probably doing the same thing. One time we did a men's conference, or the minister's conference out in Colorado, and this guy came up to get prayer, and Dave Duell, you have to know, I don't know how many of you know Dave Duell, but he is a character. And he looked at this guy, and he said, this saith the Lord. He said, I know you're worried. I would be too if I wasn't God. And I thought, boy, I mean, hey, when it gets down to where the only person's not worried is God, that's okay, because he can handle it, amen. So many times, you know, so many times when something's going on in our life, instead of us going to the one that don't worry, we go to somebody else and get them to worry with us. Come on. We tell them things that they can't handle. Man, people can get in the shape now. Just like that lady's sister. I was just sitting there. I was just racking this over how many people I know in situations like that, you know, over the years, you know, that I've seen over the years. And just it seemed like every time something would seem to go right, you know, you, like they'll say, you know, you think you've seen the light in the tunnel just to find out it's a train. you're not going to get out of there, man. There's another train. And you just see those things and see those things. But you know, we run to people and we you know, we've got to get to the place where we have enough compassion for people, amen, to give them to God. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of times it's hard to do that. We have so much, you know, we have compassion for them, and the worst thing in the world we can do is hold on to them. You know, and try to solve their situation and try to help their situation without hearing from God, and that's just a worse deal. They're carrying you around on their back now, but if we need to have the kind of compassion to where we see that we need to say, hey, you know what, I don't know what to tell you, but one thing I do know, that God is for you, and we're going to call on Him and we're going to ask Him to help you, and you know that's a whole lot better than trying to figure out some way to get through something. Let's go on here. This is a basic. This is basic 101 Christianity. You know, that we just need to get a hold of. That in the ages to come, He might show us that we've been seated in heavenly place with Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, look at this. He might show the excellent grace or riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Man, I'll tell you what, in ages to come, when a person gets saved and you start trusting God, in ages to come, He's going to show His kindness and His grace through you to people around you. Amen? Well, I'll tell you, what was that joke I used to tell about this? It was a test that they've given these people. About truck driving, and he's going to drive his co-team, a team. And he said, let's say, here's a situation. You're driving, and your buddy is in the back, in the sleeper, sleeping, and you go over Wolf Pass out there in Colorado down this mountain, and you find out that just as you peak the gap of that pass, you're starting down through there, and you have no brakes. And you're heading for a town down there that's got traffic all over the place, cars all over the place, buildings all over the place, and there's nowhere to go. He said, what would you do? He said, I'd wake up my buddy. He said, well, why would you wake up your buddy? He said, because I know he's never seen a wreck like this. Don't do much good to tell people how bad things are, amen. He's not really going to be able to help you. But we do that, don't we? Because that's a natural thing for us to want to do. We want to tell people how bad things are. But see, what God wants is for us to stand up, amen, and receive His kindness and His grace so that they can see how good things are. Amen? I'll guarantee you right there sits a man that received His kindness and grace. Amen? And he's showing it. And so that's where we need to be, amen. We need to be showing people, amen, that God is on our side, that He's for us. Now, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. Of course, we use this all the time to lead people to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But He's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to someone that's trying to get saved. He's talking to someone that is saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, here's what I wanted to say. I said all that to say this. I love this. I love this. That we are God's workmanship. We're not self-made. We didn't save ourselves. We can't boast about that. Amen. We're saved by grace. It was God's deal. It was what God wanted to do. If you're here today and if you just got saved recently, I'm going to tell you something. You're just as saved as anybody in this place. And the reason is because if it was up to you, you might not be. But it's not up to you. And everyone in here that can stand in here and say, I've been saved for 20 years, they got saved just like you did, by grace. By God's unmerited favor, that God decided that he wanted a people. He wanted a people, wanted someone to have fellowship with. And with, you know, we could go to the whole story of Adam and all that stuff, but we're not talking about that now. We're talking about right now, here, now. He feels the same way about you as he did the day that he saved you. Amen. And he'll always feel that way. That I saved you because I love you. I saved you because my favor in Christ Jesus made you able to stand in my presence and to be called my child. 1 John 3 says, 1 John the third chapter says that behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Behold what manner, behold, that word behold means stand up and take notice. You know, we read that, but do we behold it? I mean, behold, take a look at this. Stand up and take notice of this. Amen? That God loved us so much that he made us able to be called his sons. Amen? Behold, what manner? What manner of love is that? What manner is that? Amen? You know, when Gerald Laverne picked Miriam as their daughter, behold what manner of love. Amen. You know, an adopted child is really special because, you know, your parents choose you. My kids, they come along and I thought, I didn't want that one. Well, I'll guarantee you one thing, way some of my kids have acted, if I thought I'd been adopted, I'd made the wrong choice. But, you know, that's special, isn't it? That's special. Behold, what manner that you'd take someone, amen, that wasn't anything like you, but you loved them so much, and you created them in Christ Jesus to make them just like you. Boy, what a deal. What a deal. Isn't that good? That he made us just like... I like to say this about people. You know, you are made up of Jesus' parts. You're God's creation, but he created you through what Jesus did. Not of your own works, amen. You're not a self-made man. You're a God-made man through Jesus. And Jesus made you the man that you are. Well, when we looked at Jesus, you know, when you look at Jesus and how pleasing Jesus was to God. You know that Jesus never displeased God, ever. He never displeased God. And the only time that he even questioned God was, and he said, you know, Father, if this cup can be removed from me, he said, but nevertheless, thy will be done. You know, he had it. He did what he knew that the Father wanted him to do. And you know why he did it all? For you. For us, for each one of us in here. Amen. We've been made what God wants us to be made, and he did it through Jesus. That's why we can't ever badmouth ourselves. That's why we can't ever feel like that we're coming up short. That's why we can't ever think about, amen, how that we wonder if God's going to take care of us. Would you forsake your children? No. And the Bible says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children. And we've said this before, you know, but it's not saying that our love for our children is evil, but compared to God's, it is. That's how much he loves us, amen? He loves us so much more than we can understand. Passeth all understanding. But the thing of it is, we know that he does it. We don't have to understand it. We know that he did it. I don't understand how a virgin gave birth to a baby, but I know it happened. Amen? And I don't understand how God could love me sometimes, amen? You know, my wife loves me all the time. We went out to make that movie, and on the way home, she did such a good job acting that on the way home, she told me she loved me, and I didn't know whether to believe her or not. Are you feeling it in here today? Come on. Man, get a hold of God's love for you. Get a hold of how much he cares about you. And get a hold of how much he planned it. You're not an accident. You didn't just stumble into this. Amen. It was God's plan from the beginning. He ordained you unto good works. Amen. We're preordained. You say, you believe in predestination? Yes, sir, I do. Not that some people's going to heaven and some's not, but he predestined me to be like his son. It was his predestination, amen, for me to be conformed to his image. He predestinated that. In other words, he made everything possible for that to happen before it happened. And you know what? I accepted it, and it happened. Come on. It happened. We are who we are because of he being who he was. Amen. And that's good news, man. That's good news, brother. That's good news, isn't it? Good news. You're going to heaven. Come on. Today's the first day I ever met you, but I'm going to be in heaven with you for eternity. Whoa, boy, what a deal. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good deal. I don't know this brother over here either. Huh? What's your name? Did you just sneak in here, or what's the deal? I haven't seen you before. Well, I love you, brother. Love your spirit, man. I was praying for you a while ago when I looked over and looked at you, saw you, and I was sitting down there and see. Amen. I just believe that God has told you to do some things years ago, and you kind of put it on the shelf. Yeah, you're hard-headed. Why? Are you related to Cardo? Well, that's the reason. That's the reason. That's the reason you're hard-headed. I mean, you inherited that, brother. I mean, that's okay. But he told you to do some things years ago, and you've kind of put it on the shelf. And matter of fact, sometimes if it kind of comes up as a reminder to you, you did more than put it on the shelf. You put it under the shelf. But God says it's time to pull that off from under the shelf, put it back up on the shelf, amen, and look for doors and openings to open up for you because God's got something for you to do, brother. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. I have seen him. And I've been going through it because my heart hit me. He's here to sit me down. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, I'll do it this time.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
I'm hard-headed.
Amen. And you're not a man, you're not a self-made man, you're a God-made man. Amen. Amen. You are what God says you are, brother. You're what God says you are. And that's, boy, I tell you what, that is good to know that you're who God says you are. To know that God loves you. He loves you so much he carries your picture around in his billfold. Amen. I mean, if he said, if somebody said, let me see your family picture, he'd throw out one of those folding things and run from here out through the dark hall there and out in the street, amen, and halfway to Camelsville. Everybody's picture. He carries it in his billfold. He cares about you. He loves you. Amen. That's right. That's right. It's right there, isn't it? It's proof of that, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, let's do. We're gonna show that movie tonight, and that movie's, by the way, it's a featured film. It's 2 hours long. And just to make it 2 hours long, they had me sing about halfway through it. But anyway, let's just. Do you think you could get some lost people in here tonight to watch a movie, eat some popcorn? Come on, tell them that you there's a movie star over here. You know, in the movie, I look like Tom Selleck because I got a mustache. I got tired of Tom Selleck. I don't look near as much like him with my mustache shaved off. Can we just kind of gather around up here this morning, love on each other, pray a little bit, and let's just pray. Let's just pray that God will show you someone to call, the right one. How many know the fields are white for harvest? Laborers are few. But he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send you into his harvest. And so we're just going to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send you in his heart, that they'd be, as we're praying here this morning, I believe that God is going to place people, names and faces of people in your mind, and you're going to be able to call them people, and you're going to be surprised at the answer. And if they say no, no's as close to yes as you can get. but you got to be asking to even get a no, right? And so we're just going to do that. You have anything you want to say, honey? Is anybody in agreement with this or not? Are you in agreement with this? Will you search your minds? Will you get over your chicken spirits about calling somebody? You shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid to call somebody and ask them to go to a movie with you. Tell them you'll buy the popcorn. Pay their way in. Praise to God. You say, well, I wouldn't deceive somebody to get them in church. Well, the devil deceives them all the time and keep them out. We're smarter than he is, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, I pray right now, Lord, for faces of people, loved ones, people that they know that needs to know the Lord. This film, Father, we know that we know in the making of it, the whole thing was to get people saved, was to cause people to just see the simpleness of salvation and how that Christianity is not religion, but it's just you. It's about you, Jesus. And Father, we just believe right now, as we pray right now, I believe for people to come to mind. I believe for people to come to mind. I believe that people that maybe they haven't talked to in years, but they can say, you know, I haven't talked to you for a while. Would you go to a movie with me tonight? And Father, get them in here to see this movie, that their heart could be touched by you, by the love of God, you, by your love, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, thank you, amen. And amen. Now, I'll pray for anybody that needs prayer. You know, we'll do that, but I'm just going to turn the service back over to you, Daryl. Or
hallelujah. Vern.
Okay, go ahead. But you know what? You're reaching out and touching God with your heart because you care. Now what God touches is he touches your heart by faith because you love Jesus and you've accepted him. Now you need to realize that he's received that. He's received you. That the only way we're saved is like what I said in there before. You know, we're saved by grace, not through any action, not through any works, not that we could boast, but by faith. By faith. But I will pray for God to touch you. I'll pray for that. Thank you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name. Yeah, there it is.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Was he praying in tongues? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Precious Father.
Thank you, Lord, for filling him with your spirit.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for touching him. Fill him with your spirit.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Now,
thank you, God.
When that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well,
you can just sit at home in your chair and ask God to touch you. God, touch me. God, just fill me with your spirit right
now.
And he can just lay in your spirit,
and
your heart, and feel the love of God just in your car or anywhere.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Now, if depression starts coming back, which it will, the devil's not going
to
leave just because you love God.
I've got to rebuke him in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Well. You just remember what you've done here today. Just remember how he touched you.
Yeah.
Just remember that you're him. You've been created in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation. And God used Jesus, what Jesus did, to make you that way. He made you what you are because of Jesus, not because of you.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you, but he had to get you to where you could receive that love through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made you acceptable.
Amen.
He's made you acceptable to him. You're acceptable to God, brother. You could, hey, if God was standing right here, you could walk right up to him and he would be just so thrilled to see you. Hallelujah. Yes. Just like he is right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. God bless you. All right, I'm coming in costume tonight.
I want to wear your hat.
No, you're not wearing my hat. I don't let any hardhead get in my hat.
But where you want to tonight? Is that all right? Can I say
sure.
that?
Sure.
All right.
You can say it.
Cowboy
clothes. Amen. I want to say one other thing so you'll hear this voice for the last time. Usher, there's going to be an offering basket container at the door as you leave. There's a special offering for the Coulter's ministry. So you be faithful to what the Lord would tell you to give. And I'm sure he'll tell you to give something. So you can get blessed and they can get blessed. Amen. And remember, 5:00. You can ride your horse if you want to, but you better leave early. Or to get here. Let's pray. We're going to pray over the offering prayer, dismissal prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, thanking you for all the love that you've showered us with and the faithfulness that you show even when we're not that faithful. You, Lord God, always are. I thank you for the word that we've heard this morning, the message from your word. I ask you to bless Clifton and Jerry and their ministry, all they put their hand to for the kingdom of God. And I ask you to bless your people, that none of us will leave here like we came, in Jesus' name. But that we'll be better, stronger, more filled with grace than ever before. Bless the offering, Lord God, and we thank you for it. Thank you for bringing us back together tonight. As we look forward to it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.